You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
92.7 WMDX, 92.7 WMDX, Madison.
Yeah. I mean, inside all weekend, because you knew that the No Kings protests would be taking place, and you heard what that might be like.
We call it the Hate America Rally. I bet you see pro-Hamas supporters. I bet you see Antifa types. I bet you see the Marxist in full display.
This crazy No Kings rally this weekend, which is going to be the farthest left, the hardest core, the most unhinged in the Democratic Party.
What the? No, what? Not the hardest core. And so this weekend, we sat in our bunkers, doors locked, windows boarded, muskets and cyanide pills at the ready, prepared for whatever the hardest core had in store. Do your worst. Display your Marxism to its fullest.
An estimated 7 million people gathered across some 2,700 No Kings rallies in cities from coast to coast in what has been described as one of the largest single-day demonstrations in U.S. history.
Not only were they largely peaceful, they were often joyful.
Not public domain folk classics. Actually, it was kind of an incredible turnout that was somewhat inspiring. 7 million Americans, zero mass shootings. Zero! No mass shootings. It wasn't a Hate America rally at all. I look forward to Republicans apologizing sincerely.
This, to me, is a colossal waste of time. And for these people, you wasted your Saturday.
It's like a Comic-Con. They have costumes and hashtags.
They're silly protesting, and they don't know how dumb they look.
Absurdist costumes. They look silly. They certainly don't look serious.
I knew Antifa. I worked with Antifa. You people are not Antifa. Make up your mind, Fox. You complained it would be a terrifying your pants protest, and now you are complaining about how boringly unpants it was. Although there was one nit you picked that really felt off-brand.
The crowd, made largely up of what many are saying are gray hairs, boomers.
A bunch of boomers.
A lot of older,
angry boomers.
Older, angry white boomers.
It's a sea of white people. It's all old white people. Extra, extra, read all about it. This country has too many angry old white people. Says, hold on, Fox News. Fox News, mad that there are so many old white people in America. I don't think Fox News is mad. I think they're jealous. Now, obviously, that's not to say there weren't some hardened terrorist sympathizers practicing coordinated action.
There ain't no king, ain't no king in USA.
I did not know Hamas had a jazzercise program. And while those performances were more joyful than provocative, I think we can all agree about the effectiveness of this installation. Mm-hmm. ICE agents, as lice agents, being beaten by Uncle Sam while Prison Trump meanders around the Constitution. Ladies and gentlemen, I cannot stress this enough. This is why you do not cut funding for the arts.
There you go. There you go. The Daily
Show.
Jon Stewart.
Yeah, amazing stuff.
Good stuff. Yeah. Covering the No Kings rallies across the nation. Mm-hmm. And that's what this whole segment's about. On some more stuff.
Yep.
It's still out there. Mm-hmm. WMDX 92.7, John and Gordy in the morning. Dom at the controls. And feel free to tune us in on the Civic Media app.
Yeah, you can call us too, 608-879-8255. Phone lines are open. Joe, we'll get to you in just a moment. Weather for today, we've got clouds this morning. We'll see chilly temperatures all day long, a high of just 50, and currently 38 degrees here. And the winds have died down a bit, and we do have a frost warning, a freeze warning for tomorrow morning, so it's really going to get even colder tomorrow.
Yeah. We've got Mike Johnson, ripping into the the rallies again. But first, why don't we go to Joe? What do you got for us, Joe?
Good morning.
Oh, just want to do a little side digression into the new ballroom.
Yeah.
For all
please.
We're preoccupied with that, man. That is something else.
Yeah. You really can't get better than what's going on there. There was a quote from Mr. Trump. They were talking about when he first announced his plans for the ballroom. This is from the New York Times. Remember that he pledged that this new this ballroom would not touch the East Wing, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Touched by the construction. Yeah. Not at all. And his exact quote was, it won't interfere with the current building. Well, that's true, because the building doesn't exist anymore.
That's right.
And it'll be near but not touching it. Well, I think it's touching it, yeah. And then this was my favorite line that he said about the East Wing, and pay total respect to the existing building, which I'm the biggest fan of.
Yeah.
He remarked that he said this in October, which would have been, say we're still in October, so it would have been within the last couple of weeks. And I guess that one of the things that I just amazes me, this thing is going to be nearly twice as big as the White House.
Yes.
But since he knocked down the East Wing, it's going to be bigger than the White House, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
And it's gone from $250 million, now we're looking at $300 million. But of course, he's going to get all these private donors to kick in. And then he said even he would be adding some money, and I thought, yeah, like $1.
Right.
$2. Yeah. And I just think we're at a point where if I were the West Wing, I'd really be kind of concerned if I were the West Wing, because number one, it's associated with that TV show.
Oh,
and
man,
wouldn't that be a great thing to knock that down for parking? Because you're going to make the argument for parking.
Oh, man.
Anyway, my two cents.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks, Joe.
I think that, you know, they were surprised at what they found when he started tearing apart one of the walls.
Oh, really?
Now, we saw a plan of where that ballroom was going to be, and now it was going to be on the end of the East Wing.
Yes. Yes.
And attached to the very end of the East Wing.
Yeah.
And maybe when they took down that wall, the very eastern wall, they found out that everything was just, you know, cardboard. Maybe they used cardboard way back when they built it. I don't know. But
no,
then they said, well, let's just tear down the whole East Wing.
I think they hit a load-bearing wall, and then suddenly things started cracking, and they go, we got to knock that down. Yeah.
So
it just goes on and on.
What's it going to be like, an airport? You know, you just get on this ramp.
Concourse?
A concourse. You go from the White House on this concourse to the ballroom,
with a walking escalator kind of thing.
That's right.
God.
Check your luggage over there. I don't know.
Joe's got a good point, though. I mean, it'll look unbalanced then to have this little west wing on the other side.
Yeah.
So why not knock that down and make some parking, maybe make another concourse, have ballroom number two over there. Oh, God.
Yeah, well.
We'll keep an eye on it.
Yeah, so this is really, truly unbelievable. All right, now let's get back to the No Kings rallies, okay?
Yes.
Now, I'm going to mention the story because Mike Johnson kind of circles around in order to blame the No Kings rallies for a whole bunch of different things. They were talking about the pardon of the January 6th rioter who ended up threatening Hakeem Jeffries. You know, he wanted to kill him. And so Mike Johnson shrugged that off, and then he started talking about the No Kings rally. So let's listen to this. This is Cut 201.
Did President Trump make a mistake by just offering up a blanket pardon for every single person that was convicted as a result?
I don't know any of the details of this at all. I don't
know
who's been alleged to have been involved in this.
Doesn't.
I will say that anybody who threatens political violence against elected officials or anyone else should be have the full weight and measure of the Department of Justice.
Well, that's fair. That's
I trust that that'll happen. I hope it will. We are intellectually consistent about that, obviously. I will tell you this.
What?
The violence on the left is far more prevalent than the violence on the right. Don't make me go through the list. You all know.
Really? No, I want you to go through the list.
The assassination culture that's been advanced now.
Uh-huh.
This is the left in almost every case that is advancing this, and
no,
not the
that's
right.
Not
so
true.
Let's not make it a partisan issue. You don't want me to go there.
We're
just going to say
you went there.
Any deranged individual.
Oh, God.
This has to stop. And the rhetoric that you saw on display on Saturday, we highlighted yesterday, it plays into this, okay? there are people that get triggered. There are deranged people in society when they hear elected officials participating in a rally that was paid for by Soros and sponsored by communists, with signs and placards and mantras that were repeated that we should bring death to, you know, fascist politicians. What they mean is they call every Republican a fascist now. They're calling for the death of elected officials.
No,
please, enough of that. We got to stop that. Stop the rhetoric, stop all the nonsense, and stop the violence.
Well, obviously none of that was true, but I just had to bring it up because this is the kind of rhetoric that he's spreading.
Yeah.
And that makes people want to do something violent, I think. Now, Trump certainly didn't like the turnout. He said it was the wrong people. So let's listen.
Wrong people.
I think it's a joke. I looked at the people. They're not representative of this country. And I looked at all the brand new signs paid for, I guess it was paid for by Soros and other radical left lunatics. It looks like it was. We're checking it out. The demonstrations were very small, very ineffective. And the people were whacked out. When you look at those people, those are not representative of the people.
Well, so we look whacked out, I guess, right? Now, podcaster Joe Rogan gaslit his audience with the No Kings rallies by echoing the fantasy of paid old people showing up. Let's listen.
Protesting on the streets, 99% of them are losers. The other ones work for the Fed. It's FBI agents and losers. That's all it is. Every protest is FBI agents and losers.
I talk about this all the time. I'm like, for me, you want me to join a protest? You want me to get out on the street? First of all, to make a sign? The f*** out here. And then
you don't
have
to make the sign. There's a guy with a van who's paid by George Soros, and he's got stacks of signs that were made at Kinko's. Okay, they're not homemade at all. And you just just pass those bad boys out.
As we have proven time and time again on this channel, these protests are fake. These are not real, authentic Americans. These are people who are being paid to be there. These are people that have no idea what they're doing there.
Really? Wow.
Okay.
What an incredibly insane alternate universe these people live in, or at least think exist around them in some way, shape, or form, right? Well, I want to just, this is a very short cut from Benny Johnson. He's another podcaster on the right. Let's check this out. Cut 199. Here we go.
Or like these senior citizens who are like being trotted out of their senior citizen home because they need something to do for them during activity hour. It is truth that the left has lost the heart and soul of America. This is a center-right country, and these protests are indeed fake or attended by very, very old people needing activity hours in their nursing homes.
So,
okay.
So all of these rallies were fake.
7 million people.
Yeah, 7 million people faked it.
Faked it.
And all the signs were handmade. I didn't see any. Any signs like they do have at Trump rallies, they all hold up the exact same sign. There's so much projection. That, you know, I mean, this party is just ripe with projection. I'm going to get to a cut after our break here from Bill McKibben. He's a climate organizer, and he was talking about the senior citizens who might show up.
Really?
For the rallies, and they did show up, of course, and he was interviewed by Rachel Maddow. So we'll get to that in just a moment right here on John and Gordy in the Morning.
Yep, and coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll talk to former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, get his take on what's happening in Washington and across the nation. It's all coming up on John and Gordy on WMDX.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Winter. John and Gordy in the morning.
It's on the way.
It is. Yeah. It is nice and chilly out there.
Ready for a weather update here? Here we go.
Let's go. Let's All find right. out what's going on.
WMDX weather with Gordy.
Okay. It's chilly out there this morning. 38 degrees currently. We'll see a high close to 50 today. We've got some clouds out there to start things out. The big news in the weather world, tomorrow it's going to get really even colder than this morning. We have freeze warnings out for tomorrow. So take care of those outdoor plants or bring that vegetation inside.
All right.
Okay. Keep them protected.
Let's get back to the old people at the rallies.
Old people?
Remember, all the retired older people turning out in droves for the Trump rallies? Anybody remember that? I remember it. I mean, after all, Trump was 78 years old at the time, right? Mm. Not a lot of young people following a 78-year-old codger who paints his face orange. Plus, MAGA's brag. As you get older, you become more MAGA, right? I mean, so, they've got a lot of old people on the right. In fact, research concluded that the majority of Trump rallies tended to be white, male, mainly older, and highly conservative, all right? So anyway, here is Rachel Maddow talking to climate organizer Bill McKibben, and he brought up the older protesters that would turn out. This is cut 155. Here we go.
This week, the veteran climate organizer Bill McKibben was asked by the news outlet Notice if he was worried about people from his grassroots organization showing up to these protests and being labeled domestic terrorists. Bill McKibben told them, quote, "Our average age is in the mid-70s. I think our gray-haired presence alone will help make it clear what nonsense this is."
Yeah. I think one reason that older people have been turning out in such large numbers, and they have been heavily overrepresented in these demonstrations, is because everybody can tell with a heart, can tell that the Trump regime is bad news. But if you have 15 presidents in your experience, you know that it's not just bad news. You know that it's utterly different from every president that we've ever lived through before, good or bad, that this is a complete rupture with the America that we knew. And I think that may strike old people harder. We've certainly noticed at Third Act that there's a huge willingness of people to be out in the street over and over again. Stephen Miller was boasting about how well things were going with the federal occupation of D.C. He said, "The one problem we're having is that all these elderly hippies are out there yelling at us. Time for them to go take a nap." Well, we're not taking a nap. We're rising up.
What does it add to the environment of those protests to have older people in such a big, rich part of the mix?
We've noticed all along that there's an enormous pleasure for younger people in seeing that older people, boomers, silent generation, are not abandoning them, leaving the mess behind for them to clean up, but are showing up and trying to do something about it. When we first launched Third Act, with a big banner that just said "fossils against fossil fuels," and all the kids who saw it started laughing, but they started laughing in part out of a sense of relief. A lot of that climate anxiety you hear about is just this sense that they've been abandoned. Remember, if you're in your 60s or 70s or 80s now, your first act was precisely in that period of social, cultural, political transformation.
Yep.
When
yes.
women became a full part of public life, the apex of the civil rights movement, the anti-war movement, the first Earth Day. It's very much in our generation's muscle memory, if you will.
All right, there
Boy,
you go.
Some great points there.
Really good points. It's Bill McKibben, and he is the organizer of a climate organization. So,
you know, the other interesting thing, old people vote, you know, they're at the polls. They go to the polls and they vote. So it's a huge, huge chunk of our population.
It really is. Making fun
activists.
Of older people showing up at a protest is small and ridiculous. Let's go to Charles. Charles, what do you got for us this morning?
Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. You know, it's weird. First day went from it was going to be violent criminals and immigrants and Hamas terrorists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now it was just old people who they drug out of nursing homes who could barely walk. and they're just butthurt because it was over 7 million people.
That's right.
That showed up to protest the nastiness of this guy and his sycophants in back of him. And they can't get over that.
Yeah.
You know, they change the narrative. Every time it doesn't fit, oh, well, we're going to change it. Now we're going to say it was just old people because there was no violence, and they can't understand that. Yeah. How are all these people able to get together and there were no violence at all, except for on January 6th when they stormed the Capitol and tried to kill the vice president and Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah, no inflatable frogs at that one. All right, Charles, thanks a lot. We're going to go to CJ real quick here. CJ, what do you got for us?
Just a minute.
Yeah.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. A shout out to a former classmate of mine, Pizza Box Mike. I heard him on the radio.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. We went to school together. A friend of mine, and I don't know if he claims that anymore, but I still do. Anyways. You know, as I listen to this, I find it funny because, really, when you ask people why they're out there, they don't really, aren't quite sure. And as President Trump donates his salary and builds a ballroom and gifts it back to the United States, something Joe Biden certainly didn't do and his family as he took us for millions. But I do want to just say, you know, it's a sad day that when people are walking around and claiming inflation is an issue now, and January 6th is an issue, when they had 750 riots across the country.
CJ, we got to leave it there.
Yeah, CJ, thank you.
29 past the hour, back after the Midwest Food and Farm Report with Jim Santel.
WMDX, John and Cordy in the morning.
It is 7:35. Phone lines are open, 608-879-8255. Weather for today, high near 50, a mix of clouds and some sunshine, and right now 38 degrees.
We're going to be talking law in just a few moments with Jim Santel, Amicus, the Law Review. But first, we want to go to Dick, who's been on the line for a while here. What do you got for us, Dick?
I'll be real quick, because you got an awesome guest, as always. The CJ talking about him gifting this ballroom, the only way he would gift this ballroom is might be the money he's going to steal from the DOJ, first of all. But the next thing is, if I'm any of the builders that are building this thing, from the corporate people that are actually going to build it, I'd want my money up front. Because if they operate like this guy, none of it will get paid for.
That's right.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah, but it's another way to launder money as well. That's, I mean, that's what everybody's saying. Right. I mean, you know, the people donating money are going to get something for this.
Yeah. So, Dick, thank you for that call.
Just another grift by our Trump.
Well, they probably get signage inside the ballroom, you know, billboards and stuff. You know, that's all got to be part of the deal.
Yeah, that's right. Amazon kiosks, you know.
Yeah, it's going to be beautiful.
Let's go to Jim Santel. We've got a lot of things to cover here this morning. I mean, everything has hit the fan. Everything's in the courts, basically, and that's why we have Jim here to kind of straighten all of this out, fill us in on what's happening. But the big story everybody has been talking about is Trump's ask for $230 million in damages for past prosecutions, which is just an amazing thing. And because he's got a compliant FBI and Justice Department, he can get all this money. They would probably approve this. Is that right, Jim?
You know, you'd like to think we haven't gone quite that far, but I've stopped predicting the non-crazy stuff from happening. So who knows what Pam Bondi may authorize. For what it's worth, here's a little bit of your wonky internal process. If there's a civil judgment against the United States, I did civil litigation routinely for about 30 years, and someone in a private sector is entitled to money, You file a form, you get it reviewed by a supervisor, it goes to the civil division, goes to the deputy attorney general. 17 different people have their hands on this. And sometime down the road, the Treasury cuts a check, that sort of thing. It is a process that is premised upon a finding by a federal judge that this particular person is entitled to the money. This isn't that. You don't just stand up, whether you're the president or anybody, and say, you know what, I don't like the way the government treated me in the past, and so I'm going to ask for, and then you fill in the blank, where $230 million comes from, who knows? But it's just, you know, there are various categories of Donald Trump. He's engaged in the criminal acts. We know what those are. He's been convicted of some of those. He's engaged in the civil violations. He's engaged in the things that are unconstitutional and lawful. And then there's just the downright crazy. And this is that last pocket of things. It is the bucket of absolutely crazy, and it defies explanation. And again, I certainly hope, if he gets this money, let's all, Dom will be the first one to submit his claim. Let's all submit claims to the Department of Justice for the various egregious behavior of our government throughout our lives. We've got more of it than Dom does, but still, let's go down that road.
Well, yeah, that's true. I mean, we should be compensated for all the trouble that we've gone through.
Yes.
Right. Why not? The emotional distress.
Yes.
Every morning, you wake up every morning and you have to deal with this. That's where something, get your therapist in to describe the oppression that you have suffered and just attach a number to it.
Pain and that's, suffering.
That is quite literally, that's the story here. That is what is going on by the chief executive of the United States of America.
Yeah. Okay.
You think maybe somebody would question that? I mean, like a lot of the mega cult members would question what is happening here, why this would happen.
Right.
And that would be taxpayer money going to Trump by request for compensation. Wouldn't they be angry that their taxpayer money would be going to something like this, some frivolous, ridiculous ask of the Justice Department?
They would be. And again, the last thing that I am inclined to do, in addition to predicting what Pam Bondi will or will not do, is to support in any way what those folks would argue. But what the president is arguing is, well, again, I have suffered damages by virtue of all of the principally criminal litigation, the investigations that I've had to suffer, all of which was legitimate, none of which was, as he continues to repeat, that he was vindicated in the courts, they were dismissed, I was exonerated. None of that is the case, of course, but that's what they would say, that this is providing money, compensation to him for the egregious things that he has suffered in the wake of his criminal conduct. Not all of which resulted in jury verdicts.
Exactly.
So, Jim, what about this case today? The judge in Chicago is going to hear arguments today on Trump's use of the military and the National Guard in Chicago after another judge in Portland, in Oregon, determined that he could not use and deploy forces like those. What do you expect from this case?
Right. So we've got seemingly different results in two different areas. In the Ninth Circuit out there in Portland, you've got this case, which, again, it's a good country that I still live in, where I can be very critical, even on the airwaves of any federal court. The federal court, you may recall, the appeals court in the Ninth Circuit overruled. We talked about Karen Immergut. She's the one who said, is there a rebellion going on in Portland? That is where you've got the inflatable frogs, and that is where you have the dinosaurs running around. And she said, no, there's no insurrection going on there. Goes up to the Court of Appeals, and the Court of Appeals, believe it or not, and this is why, again, appropriate, we can do this, two of the three members of the Court of Appeals are in the Ninth Circuit, say this, that yes, and again, no one on this radio broadcast condones criminal conduct. Let's make that very clear, including arson. Says, okay, there have been some attempts to set fires, but here are the other things that they find in support of the notion that there is an insurrection going on. Some people threw sticks and rocks. That's literally sticks and stones. They threatened officers with knives. They shined lights in the officers' eyes, and they shot paintballs at them. That's the basis upon which the United States Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit found that things are up for grabs in Portland. And again, that's one of the findings, contrary to what's going on, as you've indicated, in the Seventh Circuit, which is thankfully where we are, gentlemen, right? And that's our circuit here. And there they do, in fact, support the finding by April Perry, who's the district court judge who made the similar finding as did Judge Immergut. No insurrection, nothing going on in Chicago. Yes, we had 26,000 people apparently running through the streets recently. Oh, but that's right. They were doing that marathon, right? That sort of thing. So I say that with tongue in cheek,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah, right.
And what happened there is the Seventh Circuit says, yes, we're going to support that. That's the case that, again, is heading right now to the Supreme Court. I know that's a lot. As we always say, the bottom line is we've got differing results from two different sets of judges. And the silly notion, from with due respect to appeals court judges, that there is in the city of Chicago and the city of Portland, an insurrection going on, a rebellion, and that the president, the other part of this, the president is unable with existing laws, including domestic law enforcement, local law enforcement, to control the, as he calls it, forgive me the language, the hellhole that are these places.
Yeah.
It simply doesn't exist. It's non-existent. And shame on these federal courts for finding that it does. That also, as you going back to your previous comments about previous generations, that's what protesting was all about, 1960s, right?
Yeah.
That's
yes.
what we did. Did people get hurt? Yes. Do we support that? No. We don't support the violence that results in destruction. But that's what protesting and advocacy has always been about in the American tradition. We don't have anything near that
right.
in 2020.
And we already have laws that deal with vandalism.
Absolutely.
So, and lawbreaking.
Right.
So, I mean, that can be handled
Absolutely.
At the local level.
Absolutely. And that's a very important point to make, John. Nobody is saying that the people who are engaged in these sporadic instances of violence should not be prosecuted. Yes, they should be. You set fire, that's called arson, okay? Mm-hmm. And that's what local law enforcement does every single day in the United States of America. Nothing, regrettably, nothing unusual about it. I did that for 30 years of my life. It is not a rebellion when you have those individual people engaging in that kind of conduct.
Well, you know, I'm clearing out a corner of my room. I might curl up in the fetal position if the Supreme Court allows Trump
yes.
to invoke emergency powers in our cities. You just don't know what they're going to do next at the Supreme Court level at this point.
You don't know. And they have done things in the past, especially as we are much inclined to talk about on this every Thursday morning and other mornings as well, when they have made findings that are completely unintelligible and not supported by the facts on the shadow docket, right? Just letting them do things that we know are unconstitutional. I would not put a more than lunch on the line when it comes to predicting what they would do. And maybe they find that sticks and stone, you throw sticks and stones. Maybe John Roberts thinks that is a rebellion. And if so, then we have to think about what the Chief Justice's perception of American history is all about.
We're talking to former U.S. That's right. Attorney Jim Santel. Well, let's talk about that. The Supreme Court's new term started up now, and they've already got half a dozen cases to talk about, right?
Right. They've got lots of things out there. And again, they're back in business again in early November doing oral arguments. We know that there has been this major argument, which we chatted about briefly because it was quite literally on the cusp of the broadcast, about the future of the Voting Rights Act. This
yeah.
comes out of Louisiana. This is the big one called Calais. And there seems to be enough, at least interest among the Supreme Court in getting rid of what's called Section 2, which is the major portion of that again, going back to 1964, 60 years of enforcement of Voting Rights Act, that may fall away, whether it's next June or even before then. These other cases, likewise, involving everything from campaign finance issues to conversion therapy to transgender sports, all kinds of the religious rights, all kinds of things on their docket. And again, they're back at it in about a week or so from now. And it's appropriate to begin to look at, and if you haven't looked at them already, look at the oral arguments, because they give you a pretty good sense of where the Supreme Court's going to go in months from now. And so we're not surprised. We're still horrified by some of these decisions, but at least not surprised. Consistently shocked, never surprised, as one of my friends says.
Well, it's almost like they're trying to reverse what happened in 1964. The
yeah,
civil rights yeah. movement, they want to just kind of reverse that. And I'm just kind of wondering about
What will happen to local level control of elections? Is there anything in the courts about, you know, the federal government having more control or adding more control by the federal government in determining, like, are you a citizen? And that would be a blanket edict from the federal government across every state.
Right. And that's exactly what Donald Trump tried to do on January 20th. That also, that case, again, we don't know if the Supreme Court's going to take it, but determining whether or not those babies born between February and now, who are born to women who are not legally here, whether they're citizens, other attempts to try to affect what's going to happen throughout 2026 at the polls. Absolutely.
Amazing stuff.
Jim, can you stick with us here for another few minutes?
I certainly will do that.
All right. Back with,
absolutely.
Very good. We'll be back with more with Jim Santel after this on John Agourney.
Yeah, I've got a parking ticket, Jim. I want
oh, yeah.
You to take care of.
We
got to
talk about that.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
WMDX 92.7, John and Gordy in the morning. Go to the Civic Media app, pick WMDX, and then text us, voice note us, or give us a call, because we always love hearing from you.
It is 7:52. We're continuing now with Jim Santel. He hosts Amicus, a law review, every weekend, every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
So you went out to the No Kings protest, and you had an interesting sign. Tell us about your sign, Jim.
I did, recognizing that this is radio. All of the others there in Madison, other places, are going to say, Jim, it's radio. But those online can see this is my sign.
That's right. If you're watching on Facebook or YouTube.
Exactly. Yeah.
Defend right. Humphreys.
Defend Humphreys executor, right?
Executor.
And let me assure you that when you've got that, again, wonderful people, again, none of them, for what it's worth, paid by anybody to be there. And with many other signs. Right.
Explain your sign. Humphrey's executor. That's an obscure case.
Well,
he had a number of people ask.
Exactly. People young and old came up to me. One old woman, an older woman, very much vital, running up and down the street. She grabbed me by the hand, and she said, "Tell me what that means." And the answer is that this is the case 90 years ago in which the Supreme Court unanimously told another president. His name was Franklin Delano Roosevelt, that you can't fire people who are part of independent agencies. That's been around for 90 years. And so this has to do with the Federal Trade Commission and a guy named Humphrey, who was fired by FDR unconstitutionally, illegally. Supreme Court says that. And now it's back, of course, because the president has attempted and has been successful in firing a contemporary person inside the Federal Trade Commission. The Supreme Court is now going to determine whether that 90-year-old president, that's Humphrey's executor, should be thrown out and giving, once again, the president complete authority to fire anybody he wants, even for agencies that are not under his control. Kind of like my saying, you know what, today I'm going to fire some of the leadership of Civic Media because what? I want to? No, I've got no authority to do that, right?
Exactly.
And that's, but the Supreme Court is taking that up seriously, thus the protest sign, thus the quizzical looks from members of my family and also others who approached me and said, one woman, I love this. She said, I love the niche signs. And so I'm proud to have still a niche sign in my possession for the future protest.
That's a whole category, a new category of signs, by the way.
And new costumes, right?
New costumes. Well, you know,
Halloween.
I have my sign, save the Chevron doctrine.
There you go.
But I had a hard time explaining it to people. But, you know,
right.
It takes a little while. And did people understand your explanation of your sign? Did they get it?
Right, and they do. And they shake their heads as they would shake their head in approval at you, John, Chevron doctrine. Unfortunately, it's gone. It's that one we've already lost, but maybe restore the Chevron doctrine. This is right. And they walk away and they smile and they forget about it probably because it's so niche. But nonetheless, for a few moments, we're educating America, and that's what protests are all about, right?
And the Chevron Doctrine has everything about departments having some power to create smaller laws and rules and regulations relating to their department's expertise. Mm-hmm. And they did away with that. They gave it to the courts instead.
Yep. Absolutely. And fundamentally, Chevron used to stand for the notion that, you know what, which is what America used to stand for, which is, we trust people who know what they're talking about. We trust scientists. Mm-hmm. And yes, Mr. Secretary of Health and Human Services, we trust medical people and researchers and clinicians. We trust people who are educated, who are experienced. And again, in this administration, we are tossing them out and discarding their wise and experience-based opinions on everything. Chevron really encapsulates that notion. Let's rely upon people who know what they're talking
about. That was the official pronouncement from the Supreme Court. Of course, Trump has just done it anyway, and that's why the East Wing is gone, is because they didn't have anybody left to stop him from doing that or even giving him advice as to historical context of the White House.
The White House, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the concern, quite literally. I'll take my tongue out of my cheek and being so silly here on all of some of this, but that really is the overall of thrust of what's going on here, which is just the Supreme Court saying to the president, you can do anything you want.
Yeah.
And again, I think, as some of your listeners, you've said, we've talked about this crunching away of the East Wing is the visual embodiment of what is going on in America today, which is the bit by bit, hour by hour, by this weekend, it's going to be gone. Destruction of America. That's the visual. That's the visual that embodies what this president is doing without authority, without authorization, and yet he's doing it. The question is, who is to stop me? And that's what he's also saying.
Yeah. That's right. Now,
how many costumes this Halloween are going to be dressed like the East Wing?
I just wanted to announce that.
Okay.
The John and Gordy East Wing Halloween costume will be available soon at our website.
That's right. Coming soon.
Partially deconstructed for you, and it'll be just fantastic. What a great look.
Yeah. Look for that in your local Walmarts. We're working
on it. And you can get
it.
A Tonka truck. Yeah. The trucks, you can have that attached
to your
swing, right, as it crunches away, right? it's tragic, it is sad, and yet it is a way of bringing together both Halloween and, again, oh, by the way, the destruction of the Republic. Those two things, okay, we bring them together, right? Yeah.
Right, exactly. Okay, well, Jim, we have to leave it there. Thank you for joining us. And we'll talk to you next Thursday.
Yeah. We have Chris out in Waterloo suggesting maybe the next Democratic president should fire the Supreme Court.
Oh, maybe.
Well, you can fire anybody, right?
Yes.
Apparently.
Just do it.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking.
Give it a shot, right?
That's it.
All right, Jim. Thank you very much.
That's Jim Santel. You can listen to him each
Saturday.
Yeah. Thank you, Jim. You can listen to him every Saturday morning from 9 to 11. Amicus, a law review on the Civic Media Radio Network. And tomorrow on our show, we'll have Rocker with a Max Inc. preview. Also, Savannah Tomei Olson and Pam Yonke from the Midwest Farm Report.
So much more stuff as well.
Yes. Stephanie Miller is next. Have a great day. Talk to you tomorrow. So long.
Let the sun shine. It's the John and Gordy Show.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.